coming to you from People's Valley Baptist Church. We want to welcome you into our wonderful Word of God and our wonderful church that God's blessed us with here at People's Valley Baptist. For the next few minutes, we'll be taking the Word of God and sharing with you the blessings of God into your home. And so we want to welcome you each and every time to be with us here at People's Valley Baptist Church, 68 Leopard Lane, Cartersville, Georgia. And may God bless you as we go into the precious Word of God.
Book of Joshua, this is series number 7. And we've been talking about success. What is it? And how can I have it? And this morning, we're going to deal with verses 9 through 17. We're going to deal with how do you abandon yourself to God's control? How do you abandon your own self? Because self-consciously, you will do things. Whether you hit your finger with a hammer or you stomp your toe, you're going to do some things. But how do you abandon yourself and give that to God's control? And I want to talk to you about it. There's actually one particular verse that we all go to, that we're taught in the Bible that we should go to. But when we go to that verse, how do we still do that? And this morning, I thank God, it's talking about just trusting God. How do we simply do that this morning? Because when we learn how to do that, we'll become more successful as mothers, as fathers, and as just Christians today. Not only will God bless you financially, He'll bless you spiritually. And, you know, but it's very difficult for us to do some of these things this morning. Let me give you a highlight and we'll read a couple of verses this morning. But it's very difficult for a lot of us to just let go and take God at His word a lot of times, to trust Him in the impossible situations. Sometimes what we do is we want to trust Him when we can't trust anything else, when we're at our limits. But why do you have to let it go that far? That's the thing. Why do you have to let your hand be forced like the children of Israel were when they came to an uncrossable river, a barrier that they knew they couldn't cross? And God says, I got your attention now. Now I'm going to show you how to trust me. And that's exactly what He's doing in this with the children of Israel. And that's exactly what He does in your impossible situations. He really pulls out all of the stops and everything. He says, this time I'm going to force you to trust somebody. And hopefully you'll trust me, because that's what He does a lot of times. And when we started out in chapter 1, it was a call to success, to abandon ourselves to God's control. And then when we got a little bit further, it began to show us the secrets of how to do that successfully. In chapter 2, we looked at not only that call of success in 1, but we looked at the call of service in chapter 2. And it began to tell us about the cost of victory. How that we can be able to trust God, to walk by faith. And He gave us an example of Rahab, someone that was a prostitute. And He says, hey, I can clean the prostitute up, and I'm going to show you through her how to have faith. Now, I'm going to tell you, if that ain't awesome, that's victory right there. And He gave us that wonderful example of her. But when we come to chapter 3, we see the crisis of being able to surrender. Surrender everything. They face an impossible situation of the Jordan River. I'm going to paint you a picture of that uncrossable river in a few minutes, because you just look at it like a little old river, and man, you just cross over it, or you can wade through it. It wasn't that easy. I want to tell you about that in just for a few minutes. But last week, we talked about how do you handle an impossible situation. And I thank God He told us you've got to sanctify yourself. You've got to clean yourself up, and then you've got to want to get your feet wet. You ought to take faith and step out and get in there. It's kind of like, and I've told you this before, the blunder of 1870. There was a bishop that was staying at a Bible college temporarily, and he stayed with the president, one of the presidents. And during that time, the president was telling him about some things that he was thinking were going to happen. And the bishop was saying, well, I want to tell you something. I know the Bible, and the Bible was talking about basically there's nothing new going to be happening. Nothing new that's going to come up. And the president was saying, well, I believe in 50 years we're going to be flying like birds. And the bishop was saying, I disagree with you, president. Flight is only for the angels, was exactly what I quote him saying. And I continue with that quote. He says, I beg you not to repeat your suggestion, lest you be guilty of blasphemy. That's pretty harsh, ain't it? It's very ironic about this visiting bishop. The name of this visiting bishop, and I've told you this before, some of you remember, was Milton Wright. He was the father of the very ones out some 30 years later at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. His two sons, Wilbert I was trying to think of the other ones. Thank you, amen. Because I didn't have all that wrote down. But can you imagine the very father at that time was saying, you know, now ain't nobody going to fly, but his sons are the one that made it all possible. How many times, sometimes that's exactly like we are today. There's too many things that seem like they're great obstacles for them to happen. I never thought we'd be talking on telephone, you know, going down the road in a car. Man, I'm going to tell you, but when we look at this and we're fixing to read our text, well, I want to give you a good picture of what I'm trying to do. This is a prophetical picture of Christ. This chapter, even Joshua, it's a prophetical. You say, how so, Pastor? Because when we look at the Jews, earlier when Joshua came, him and Caleb, he was rejected. His message was, we need to go on over into the promised land. And they rejected that at that time. And they said, nah, we can't do it. The giants are over there. They're too big. They wandered out for 38 years. They say 40, but it was about 38 years. And then the second time is this time. Finally, he returns to the river again. And then that river is crossed. And Joshua is elevated and is accepted. It's the same thing with Jesus Christ. Joshua is that type of Christ because Christ was rejected the first time. He came. His message was rejected by his own people, the Jews themselves. And it gave us an opportunity for him to stop the clock and let us get into the kingdom of God as the Gentiles. That's exactly what happened. We got into this thing by that happening, by their rejection, amen. And then the second time is going to come. The Lord is going to return. And he's going to be accepted by his people. Still the only thing keeping this old world together today, I'm going to tell you the truth, the church. The only thing that's holding things like they are right now, you say they're pretty bad. Yeah, but you ain't solved nothing until the church is raptured out of here. Because when he takes the body of Christ out of this old place, all hell is literally going to break loose. And as you've heard me say, you're going to be looking for the exit door. Because those that ain't been saved and that are left behind, man, I'm going to tell you, the unnatural disasters that are going to be poured out according to Revelation. The only thing that's keeping that hell back is God's bride, the church, here right now. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of God's Word. Now, thank God as we look at this, I'm just going to read verse 9, because I'm going to cover all of them anyway for the sake of time. But look at verse 9 in Joshua chapter 3. Actually, I'm going to read verse 10. Verse 10 of Joshua chapter 3. Look what the Word of God says. I want you to remember this. There's seven things here that are enemies that are today. And Joshua said in verse 10, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. A lot of sites there. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your will of God and, Lord, for People's Valley Baptist Church. And this morning, we ask you, God, that you will speak to every heart. And, Lord, those that are in the will of God, they'll know that it's you. And they'll know the pattern that they need to take. They'll know the path that they need to take because today we have the Holy Spirit that resides in every Christian's life. But, Lord, there are some here that they don't know what to do because they've never, ever accepted you. They have no guidance counselor like the Holy Spirit. They have no one. They're in the dark. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you will open those blinded eyes through conviction to make that free will choice to accept you. And Lord, if there's Christians here that are out of the will of God, Lord, they're still saved, but Lord, they're just not living the life that is victorious that you want them to live. I pray that, Lord, that you will open their eyes and may they step out on faith to get back in your will, to say, Lord, forgive me, to confess and to get sanctified, Lord, to enjoy their salvation, to enjoy the fullest that you have for them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I thank God this morning as we were talking last time about getting your feet wet. And I thank God every one of us that deals with being able to have confession. We talked about last time about the shadow of the ark and how that ark represented Jesus Christ. Because the things that were in the ark is the same thing that represent You had the Aaron's rod that represent the resurrection of when it budded. I thank God you had the manna that was the bread of life. And then you had the documentation that had been redone the second time where the tablets of the Ten Commandments was represented the Word. And that's exactly what Jesus is. He's the Word, the resurrection, and He is the bread of life. And I thank God as we look at Him again and we begin to see that it was an uncrossable river that was there. But I thank God as we begin to see this, I want to talk to you about this. Is one of the things that we proclaim to be able to abandon ourselves to get God's comfort is in the New Testament. It is a word that of Scripture that you've heard time and time again. And I bet you about every one of us here can quote it. And it's claiming Romans 8:28. Everybody probably knows it. And we know that all things work together for good. Listen, to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. They leave that out a lot of times. According to His purpose. They can quote all of it, but they leave that end off, don't they? Every time we face a tough situation, that's one of our number one resources in the Bible. Romans 8:28, amen. And I thank God because of the fact is we really don't like it, but we say, well, we believe that, but we don't do it a lot of times. We say that scripture, but we don't take it literally because we're so often we want to fix it ourselves. There's going to be times in your life you're not going to be able to fix what's wrong. You know, and you're going to have to accept that. I can't. I accepted that a long time ago. Man, I tell you, I lose sleep, but I don't lose sleep over things I can't fix. Amen. And I thank God, every one of us, of whatever situation or whatever it is that you're going through, sometimes it's hard to abandon ourselves and our plans and our strengths that we have and our agendas to God's control a lot of times. You'll never know victory in your life until you learn how to do that. I'm going to say that again. You'll never know victory in your life until you learn how to do that, to abandon yourself and to give it all to God this morning. In Romans 8:28, sometimes this is our scripture, and we try to use this in our experience, but there are four simple steps this morning to using Romans 8:28, to be able to be successful, to abandon yourself to God's control. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about, but I'm still using the book of Joshua to do it, amen. And I thank God because in verses 9 and 10, the first thing that He teaches us, you got to recognize God's control, amen. Some people don't recognize that today. They're blind to it. But He goes on, He says in verse 9, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. You've got to recognize when God's a child of God, when you're on that pew this morning, there is a part of this message that is just for you. It might not be the first one or the second one, but maybe the fourth one is yours. But the Holy Spirit will begin to say at you yourself as an individual, this is your part. This is what you got to hone into and listen to and to apply to your life. We've got to recognize God's control, amen. It goes on in verse 10, He says, and Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. And listen, and that He will without fail drive out from before you these seven. You say, how do you know there's seven of them? That's a completeness of the enemy. The enemy, they do things complete as well. And they come at you. And each one of these tribes represents an enemy today that we deal with. That's right. I'll tell you in just a minute. Every one of these tribes that were in the land there that they were going to be going into Canaan, before they crossed this barrier, He's letting them know that beforehand. Says, now, they're going to be some enemies. There's seven of them. And I'm letting you know now, before you go over into the land of Canaan, that they're over there, they're powerful, and they're strong. Now, can I go ahead and tell you what happens on into the head? You can go in the book of Judges, and in the book of Judges, chapter 1, even into chapter 3, they didn't listen. They were failures. They didn't listen. They didn't do what God told them to do. And today, that's why those enemies are still there today. I believe that with all of my heart. Those enemies that are still there today, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that. They're still there today. But in verse 10, He goes on, He says, the Canaanites, the Hittites, He says, the Hivites, I may mispronounce some of these, Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Each one of these. You get to saying all those sites, and your tongue gets to going the wrong way sometime. And the Lord, I mean no disrespect when I say that. But here He says in verses 9 and 10, ye shall know the living God. That's what really stands out about this. Our God ain't dead. He's still alive today. I thank God. We all begin by accepting who God is. Every one of us did that. That's how life began for me as an eight-year-old, and it's still going on today for me. It is just as real and alive today as it ever has been. And that is the living God that we serve today. You know, that's the thing that I ask so many of you today. A lot of you do, but there's probably someone here that don't know that living God. And Jesus said in John 14:6, He says, Jesus said unto him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. That is His word. To abandon yourself is God's plan. That's exactly what He said in that scripture I just quoted to you. Because you first got to know Him. You've got to know Him personally. Not enough to know about Him. A lot of folks know about Him. But do you know Him personally? He says, among you. Those were the two words. Among you is what He meant by that. Once God is among us, He's living in your heart. And man, when He's living in your heart, He's a part of your life. Amen. Dwelling among us as a people, they'll recognize His plan. And man, I tell you, as soon as they got there and began to, well, the 3 days that they were there, they began to recognize, man, that is an uncrossable river. You're right, Joshua. We can't cross this thing, man. Here, he's saying, pay attention in verse 9. Listen, be attentive to God's word. And then he goes on in verse 10. Here, the presence of the Lord is among you. He's with you. And He will never fail you, as Paul said. He will never forsake you, praise God. And then we begin to talk about the program of the enemies that were here. Because, man, the enemy's got a program too. They are well organized to come against all of us today. They were well organized in that day to come against the seven enemies of that time. Because we want to be mature and we want to be Christian life is to know what your enemy is, who he is, and how to defeat that enemy. And I think God says you're going to drive out these enemies according as it said, amen. You're going to drive them out. But remember, they didn't. Because Judges chapter 1, they failed. Judges chapter 2, they forsook the Lord. Boy, if I can say that right. And the enemies are still there today giving them those problems. How do you recognize His plan? Because it's all about that Spirit-filled life. That's exactly how you recognize what God's plan is. You've got to be in the will of God because He has a Spirit-filled life and you use that Spirit-filled life against those enemies that you come in contact with every day. These seven enemies that we begin to face and begin to look at in this, every one of them, the encounter that began to go with them, I thank God these enemies are greater than we are. You know why? This is what He said in Deuteronomy chapter 7. God said to His people that these were seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Lord, somebody pray for my talking this morning. Where you at over there, baby? You praying for me, right? I thank God. Here we begin to see, even the Bible says in Deuteronomy that they were greater than the children of Israel were. That's right. That's all right. That's okay to admit that. That's right. They are greater, but they're not greater than God. And I thank God that He is able to give us. They're not greater than our God today. And I thank God He exerts control over them. But we've got to recognize what His control is. And I thank God, what are these enemies? Well, we begin to look and we break them down in verse 10. Because, first of all, He says they're a prosperous people. How many of us get caught up in prosperity today? That's what the tribe of the Canaanites represents. Prosperity. The Hebrew word, Haran, belonging to the land of red purple. Man, they had that red dye that they used throughout all of that land that they attained from the shellfish of that day. These were merchants, and their emphasis was on things to be prosperous. Man, I thank God that my Lord, He controls prosperity today. If we need some money, He'll make sure you're going to have it. The little birds out there, the Bible says, never ever do without. And when they fall, He knows when they fall. I thank God He'll take care of your prosperity. We look not only at the Canaanites of prosperity that they represent, that all of us have to deal with that enemy today of prosperity, trying to, oh man, let me see if I can overdo John Smith and Lucy Lovelace and all of these other ones out here. Oh, I tell you, all of the ones that we try to do today. But the next one was the Hittites, which represented power. They were a powerful people, a people that developed and they kept the secret of melting iron. That's right, they were the very first ones that came up with that. And man, to abandon ourselves to God's control, we've got to recognize, I keep saying that word, recognize that He controls all power. We see the Hivites, and here their representation was of pressure. Pressure today is another enemy that all of us deal with. Here they were unwarlike, an impulsive type people, the Hivites. They were of compromise. In other words, their god that they worshiped was a Baal Bertha, a Baal Berith, which is B-E-R-I-T-H. It was the god of agreement. I agree with you, and I agree with you. I'll just go ahead and, you know, I'll just compromise, you know. I'll just go along. I ain't going to let no pressure get me. I'll go ahead. Yeah, I'll go along with that. Their compromisers were the pressure that the Hivites did. But I thank God to be able to abandon the compromising, to bending to pressure. Oh, Lord, I pray, God, that whatever happens, Lord, I not bend down and go back the way that I came from. Lord, I hold fast to what you have and planned, the purpose of life that you have planned for me. We've got to recognize that only the pressure that really matters is His pressure today. I thank God there was a presumptuous people as well. Those were the Perizzites. Those were presumptuous because they were refusing to prepare themselves spiritually. I don't need anything. They refused to prepare themselves exactly. What it meant in the Hebrew, they were unwalled. They lived out in the hill country. They wouldn't go behind and build a building that gave them protection. They said, we don't want to prepare. We don't want to get in and do anything. They refused to prepare themselves, to abandon themselves to God's control. We've got to recognize that He controls our protection. He protects us, amen. That's the fourth enemy that we deal with today. The fifth one is that of a pointless people. They had no purpose whatsoever. It was a purposelessness, and it was the Girgashites. The Girgashites, the original name was unknown where they came from exactly. But as we read of them, their whole purpose was they had no purpose. They had no purpose at all. They didn't want to accomplish anything. Their dwelling place was unknown. And to abandon ourselves to God's control, we've got to recognize today that our only purpose that matters for us in our life is what God's purpose is for us. We have a purpose. I tell you, some people may not have a purpose. You'll never be successful unless you have a purpose in life, that you've got an outline. And then number six, there was the pride that was there. That was the Amorite nation. They were a prideful people, every one of them. They were prominent people. The Hebrew of that means the high one. They occupied all the prestigious positions. They were a prideful bunch of a nation. And I thank God we've got to abandon that pride today. We've got to recognize that He has control over our pride. Humble us, and He controls us today. Amen. And the last thing of our enemies that we have of these nations was the perverse people. Those that are of the prince of darkness, of Satan, the Jebusites. The Jebusites were the regular ones that set up in Jerusalem itself. They were the regular ones that set up. They were the ones that said that the living God among us is how they looked at things in their own life. Amen. The Jebus, in other words, meant to tread down. It was the root word of Boas, that meant to trample under feet. Amen. They were a warlike people that lived up in the mountains, I tell you. And the entire history they had was nothing but fighting and bloodshed and warring. And I thank God the principality with them is Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high place. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that these perverse people represent Satan himself. That is another one of the enemies of these other six. Satan is among those enemies that we talked about that you'll be dealing with. We're talking about high powers from on high here this morning. We've got to abandon ourselves to God's control. We've got to be able to recognize that all evil principalities, even Satan, the prince, the peace of the air, will ultimately come under his control. Amen. I thank God we are in war, but our God controls the outcome of all of these things. These are our enemies that we're going to encounter. And we've got to keep ourselves abandoned from all of the things that we want to do under God's control. Amen. So we've got to recognize, I say that word again, that God is in control of everything of our lives today. He is in control. He is the living God among us that will help us overcome the prince of the power of the air that we deal with today. But what sooner we recognize that, you heard the story about the old sailor that was shipwrecked. I've used it so many times. Well, I mean, he was out there, and he didn't have anything, and he made himself a grass hut, and he was going out and gathering some fruits and nuts, and he came back, and that old hut was on fire. He said, man, let me just throw in the towel. I'm quitting. I'm giving up. There's no hope no more. I need some rescuing. The next morning, the captain came up out on a boat and came to rescue him, and he said, man, You ain't going to believe it. We saw your fire that you had up yesterday, and that's how we knew to come by and to rescue you. Every one of us, I thank God, that's we always want to throw in the towel. We may not understand what happens, but God is in control today. And you've got to recognize that He's in control in verses 9 and 10. That's what He's saying. Recognize that God's in control. Number 2, verses 11 through 13, you've got to recognize as well. You need to realize that God's in control. Not only recognize, but you need to realize that God's in control. And I thank God it says in verse 11, "Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord and the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap." Can you imagine? It's one thing to recognize that God has a plan, but it's another to put yourself in a situation to experience God's plan. Listen, not only to recognize, but to realize His plan. It's real. He has a plan. What Joshua was doing was covering that. He said, the ark, God's going to lead it into your situation here. It's going to be in front of you. That's Jesus' representation. And I tell you what, it's just like we were talking about Sunday night. This is exactly what I see, just cutting right to it. They begin to go across there, and man, as they went across there, that ark was in the water, and all of a sudden the rivers of Jordan were heaped up. And man, when you're talking about, I said a million, but when you got horses with hooves, you got about, I'm guessing, but about 3 million people coming across a 1 mile stretch of water that's very deep. Can you imagine? That thing was heaped up as if Jesus was right there standing in that ark. As if Jesus was right there with him, because that's exactly what you got a picture today. As if Jesus is right here this morning, because Jesus will always be with you. That Holy Spirit, that Comforter is there. They got to realize that He is in control, amen. They've got to be able to look and see, because what? Nature operates by the laws of God. God doesn't operate according to the laws of nature. He created those things. He's the one that is in control of all of these things, amen. All of a sudden, woe and behold, here is the same miracle. The second one, they parted the Red Sea. Here they come to the River Jordan. They begin to part the River Jordan, amen. I thank God, the same place where Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, amen. Here, right here, the very spot. I'm glad that I've got a God that I can't explain, amen. You know why? I said, why? I said, man, because I'm going to tell you something. If I ain't got enough confidence in God, if I could explain Him, you don't want to believe in that. If I have the ability to explain the things that I can't explain, I don't want that, amen. Can you imagine trying to explain all the things of history and having some kind of scientists want to dissect everything? I can't explain it. I can't explain all the things that God does and how He did it. But boy, I'm going to tell you something. I believe that He did it. I believe the Word of God. To abandon ourselves is to God's plan today. And to be able to will ourselves and to trust Him with what we're doing, amen. Listen, I thank God, I like what the psalmist said. Psalms 114, verses 5, 6, and 7. Man, listen to this. You got to realize that He was in control of the situation. The Bible says, "What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest?" He said, "Flee, see, you just fled." The psalmist said, "Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back." He said, "Ye mountains, that ye skip like rams, and ye little hills like rams." You hear what he's saying? He just controls nature like it's nothing. As if the sea just fled away. As if Jordan was pushed back. As if the mountains were skipped upon like little hills as rams. That's exactly how he's saying this. It's nothing with God. He goes on and he talks this and he says, listen, he says, "Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord and at the presence of the God of Jacob." Boy, I thank God He can speak it and it'll happen, amen. Of all the things that we look at, we've got to realize that God is able to do these because He is in control of our circumstances, amen. And He makes it available to every one of us. He completes us, amen. And I thank God all of us today, our second New Testament scripture ought to be 1 Corinthians 10:13. "There hath what? No temptation taken you that is such to common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear." Right here, this verse, there's three concerns that Satan will haunt us with this verse to keep us from realizing God's control in our situation. Number one, nobody's going to go through what I am. They ain't going to go through that. But God's answer is, there's coming a man, is what he said. I thank God. I can't take it anymore, somebody says. And the Bible says this, God is faithful. He's able. Somebody comes back and just says the same thing. But with what? He says, but will with the testing. The temptation is the word that I hesitated at. It's a testing. The temptation also makes a way of escape that you may bear. Everything that he provides for us in Scripture, it will give you a way to escape whatever temptation that has allured you, that has come to you. But we've got to be able to realize that God is in control, because that he is sovereign, amen. And then that we're able to realize that he is in control of our situation. Then we begin to see him addressing our situation when you're able to do that. At times, even Christians say, man, I got all this going on, this is happening, where you can't begin to see that he's addressing it, because you've got to get yourself back and begin to recognize and then to realize that he is in control. And when you begin to have faith like that, then it will become personal in your life. I thank God, it's like having a cake. Man, you can give me some baking powder and some flour. Now you got to put something else in that thing. Put me some eggs in there, put some milk in it, and man, then it tastes pretty good. But if you just give me the baking powder, if you just give me the flour, that ain't no good. I tell you, you've got to be able to blend all of the right proportions together. And God knows how to blend the bitter and the pleasant experiences of our lives together to make them all work together. Amen. For his good, as it says, amen. I thank God, not only do we got to recognize his control and realize his control, but I thank God, the third thing is, we need to be able to risk his control. He says this in verses 14 through 16. It came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all of its banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above and stood rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. Imagine all Israel holds their breath as these priests begin to step into that flood waters of the Jordan. And nearly a mile wide, can you imagine? Everything off of that mountain came down through the River Jordan itself, amen. It was a natural thing for the water to come that way. How in the world could they stop that water? How in the world could they come across on dry land? Why, even if something accidentally fell in the water up a couple of miles, it'd be muddy. But the exact moment that it happened, they come across on dry land. All of the cattle of all them 3 million people that begin to come across there. More than a 60-mile-wide dry area of a narrow path that begin to be right there, amen. You've got to be able to do this. You've got to be able to get your feet wet, amen. Quit giving all those excuses, amen. Because I thank God, you've got to risk his control of your situation and be able to step out on faith. And man, when you get your feet wet, I tell you, you say, I can't do that. God said, get your feet wet. It's impossible. God said, get your feet wet, amen. That's what he's trying to say here, amen. Why, if nothing happens, God said, get your feet wet. And man, when you take that risk, God will begin to bless it. If you recognize his control, amen, in the general sense. If you realize his control in the personal sense, and also if you risk his control in the practical sense, I thank God every one of us, as we move on and we begin to see how that river dropped 1,000 feet from the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea. Man, I'm going to tell you something. That's a moving. Another word for the River Jordan is a descender. Man, that thing used to, well, it used to pick up, and all of a sudden, man, the fastness of this river. The Bible, the history on this said that the speed would increase 10 miles per hour. Can you imagine of the river's current? It's impossible for them to cross this thing. How many times have you saw something, you say, ain't no way. I'm not going to make this. I'm not going to be able to make this situation. I'm not going to be able to crawl. We've got to risk his control, amen. By obedience, the evidence and the expression of our faith in God. And you find Jesus will be standing there every time if you'll be able to risk that plan. If you'll be stepping out on that faith, amen. Well, I thank God, the word itself, Jordan. Jordan, the Hebrew Jordan, means spreading. Dan means judgment. As he opened that up, his master plan of salvation, the very river of Jordan is another way of punishment. Because I thank God, as we begin to look at it from Adam to death, and there the spreading judgment, amen, is exactly what it means in this waters of judgment. You can either try to get in that water, and it'll scoot you down that way, and you'll be judged that way. And I thank God, do you know where Jesus, he was baptized right at this same place, amen. And here I thank God, every one of us have that ark that we don't need today because we've got Jesus. We've got the Holy Spirit. The last thing that you've got to be able to do is rest in his control in verse 17, amen. And I thank God, I'm right on time this morning, amen. And it ain't no Alabama time either. Amen. We'll close out with this morning. The Bible says in verse 17, the priest that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. I say, I'm guessing, but with 3 million people, 8 to 10 hours that they stood and they got up. And they got up. But as soon as their souls hit the feet, that water, they began to heave that Jordan River back. It was dry as any place had ever been dry for all of the people to go across safely on it, amen. Once they risked God's plan, then they were able to rest in his plan. And that's exactly how you're able to be successful today. Every one of us to be able to rest in what God tells us to do today. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into this rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that hear it. For we, which I believe, do enter into rest. You've got to have faith all the way to be able to enter into that rest that he is offering you this morning. Amen. Every one of us, we need to be able to do that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. Have you abandoned yourself to God's control? This morning, I want to tell you something. Every one of us, as we begin to look at what Romans 8:28 promised to all believers only, he promises it only to believers. If you're lost, you don't have the promise of Romans 8:28 this morning. I tell you, of all the aggravations and the disappointments and the trials and the interruptions and the hardships, God's way of protecting you is if you're a child of God. He can't protect you unless you're his child. And Romans 8:28 is for believers only. And that is a promise to recognize his control in the general sense. To risk his control in the practical sense. And once you risk God's plan, then you can rest in his plan this morning. I thank God, have you reached the point of totally abandoning yourself to God's control? All you need to do is stand, bearing Christ, which is the ark, and he'll protect you this morning. Who will it be? As Sheila starts playing softly on the piano.